Chapter 24. He stopped a week more at Athens, lest by any possibility he was wrong. The change had been so shocking that sometimes he thought Morris was right, and that it was the finish of his illness. It humiliated him, for he had understood his soul, or, as he said himself, ever since he was 15. But the body is deeper than the soul, and its secrets inscrutable. There had been no warning, just a blind alteration of the life spirit, just an announcement. You who loved men will henceforward love women. Understand or not, it's the same to me. Whereupon he collapsed. He tried to clothe the change with reason, and understand it, in order that he might feel less humiliated, but it was of the nature of death or birth, and he failed. It came during illness, possibly through illness, during the first attack, when he was severed from ordinary life and feverish. It seized an opportunity that it would have taken some time or other. He noticed how charming his nurse was and enjoyed obeying her. When he went to drive, his eye rested on women. Little details, a hat, the way a skirt is held, scent, laughter, the delicate walk across mud, blended into a charming whole, and it pleased him to find that the women often answered his eye with equal pleasure. Men had never responded. They did not assume he admired them, and were either unconscious or puzzled. But women took admiration for granted. They might be offended or coy, but they understood and welcomed him into a world of delicious interchange. All through the drive, Clive was radiant. How happy normal people made their lives! On how little had he existed for 24 years! He chatted to his nurse and felt her his forever. He noticed the statues, the advertisements, the daily papers. Passing a cinema palace, he went in. The film was unbearable artistically, but the man who made it, the men and the women who looked on, they knew, and he was one of them. In no case could the exaltation have lasted. He was like one whose ears have been syringed. For the first few hours he hears supernormal sounds, which vanish when he adjusts himself to the human tradition. He had not gained a sense, but rearranged one, and life would not have appeared as a holiday for long. It saddened at once, for on his return Morris was waiting for him, and a seizure resulted. Like a fit, it struck at him from behind the brain. He murmured that he was too tired to talk, and escaped. And Morris's illness gave him a further reprieve, during which he persuaded himself that their relations had not altered, and that he might, without disloyalty, contemplate women. He wrote affectionately and accepted the invitation to recruit, without misgivings. He said he caught cold in the car, but in his heart he believed that the cause of his relapse was spiritual. To be with Morris or anyone connected with him was suddenly revolting. The heat at dinner, the voices of the halls, their laughter, Morris's anecdote, it mixed with the food, was the food. Unable to distinguish matter from spirit, he fainted. But when he opened his eyes, it was to the knowledge that love had died, so that he wept when his friend kissed him. Each kindness increased his suffering, until he asked the nurse to forbid Mr. Hall to enter the room. Then he recovered and could fly to Penge, where he loved him as much as ever, until he turned up. He noticed the devotion, the heroism even, but his friend bored him. He longed for him to go back to town, and actually said so. So near the surface had the rock risen. Morris shook his head and stopped. Clive did not give in to the life spirit without a struggle. He believed in the intellect and tried to think himself back into the old state. He averted his eyes from women, and when that failed, adopted childish and violent expedients. The one was this visit to Greece, the other he could not recall it without disgust. Not until all emotion had ebbed would it have been possible. He regretted it deeply, for Morris now inspired him with a physical dislike that made the future more difficult, and he wished to keep friends with his old lover, and to help him through the approaching catastrophe. It was all so complicated. When love flies, it is remembered not as love, but as something else. Blessed are the uneducated, who forget it entirely, and are never conscious of folly or pruriency in the past, of long, aimless conversations.